Hello, it's November 30th, 2022, 1825 hours, Ward Green here. We just had a power outage from which we have recovered apparently, and many thanks to the great people at Hydro One for once again restoring power in a shorter time than their own estimate by about 1 hour, at least. That is 1 hour before their estimated time, but we'll see what happens now. Hopefully this power will stay now for a while. It came back on very, very beautifully without any aftershocks, you know, which we sometimes get when the power is restored. It just came on, and it hasn't gone off for even a brief instant since it came back on. So I'm very thankful. The next thing I want to talk about today is, I want to do our study, of course. I'm needing to think about what's wrong with my, if I move this way? Okay. If I move this way, I can be more centered in the frame. I've got to minimize. But during the power outage, I was able to think about some of my design ideas, and I realized some of the problems that I might have both with the door and the wall installation that I'm thinking about designing. So those designs are not yet done, for the reason that they're more complex than they first appear. And some of the additional issues I became aware of during this power outage while I was resting in bed waiting for the power to come back on. I realized, for example, that I have to consider the wind, because any wall and door that I put in place will have to resist the wind, and that will put additional forces on the structures that to which they're attached. And I thought about the fact that to block all of the wind would have to be a stronger structure, whereas if I have a place where I allow the wind to pass through, that might let some snow in, but I could also do slats where some of the snow could come in, but not as much of it if I just make narrow slats for the wind to pass through, which would be also easier to build, too, probably, to build a structure which doesn't have to be, you know, airtight. I mean, it uses less materials, slightly less, but I don't know what my choice will be. Design is very multifaceted, so I'm working on that. Plus, as you can see, I've been looking into leather. I need to purchase some new leather, because the leather that I bought years ago, I bought several different kinds of leather. I'm running out of leather now because I've used up a lot of the leather that I bought back then, and I'm almost down to nothing. I just have scraps of leather, so I need to buy some more leather so that I can do repairs on certain garments that I have, you know, and also so that I can just have it on hand for when I need leather for making some object, or I have no idea why I'm going to need the leather, but it's very handy to have, because leather is a very wonderful, beautiful material, but it's also very durable, and it has many properties that you can't duplicate any other way other than with leather. So I need to get some leather, I believe, but I'm trying to shop for it now, as I have also done in the past many times on Amazon looking for leather. I just haven't bought any yet. I've been looking, so I've been learning more about what sorts of qualities I'm looking for in the leather. By the way, we're listening to Andre Gagnon. And it's the same album from the very best of Andre Gagnon, 2001. But I'm not so much listening to it as just playing it in the background, because it's so beautiful. And because I'd like to share that discovery that I made just recently about that album. I didn't know it existed. Right. So I'm investigating leather. There's and even one thing like trying to buy leather, that could be a project. You know, that can be a job that can take, you know, years of shopping to find the right leather that you want to buy, or it could be months, it could be weeks, it could be days. You could do it in minutes if you want to just buy the first thing you see. But if you want to really pay attention to what you're going to buy, and I mean, the thing is, yeah, you can get all different thicknesses of leather, you can get different size square footage, you can get so many different kinds of leather from different animals, and it's I'm very glad that we have such a wide selection of these leather products, these raw materials. I'm interested in the raw materials of leather. I'm not trying to buy a leather jacket or a leather pair of shoes or anything made of leather other than the ones I already bought. But I mean, I'm not looking for prefabricated leather. I'm interested in, and I don't want to buy a roll of leather tape, which is a narrow or a fixed width and has no, you know, it might be self-adhesive, or I'm not interested in that. I want to do my own application of adhesive, and I want to do everything myself. I just want the raw leather, because that's what I had before, and that's the way I think I want to think about leather, and the way I want to work with leather is from the raw material. But you can get full grain leather, which is quite thick, and you can get it in 1 millimeter, which is more like for, you know, fabric use, or, you know, use as a patching material or things like that, because they do shave or change, you know, they do shave leather down into different thicknesses. And by the ounce, you know, 2.5 ounces is 1 millimeter. Roughly, if you go by the weight of leather. This article actually is perfectly in agreement with that too, because 0.4 millimeters is 1 ounce, so 2.5 times 0.4 would be 1 millimeter. So 2.5 ounces is 1 millimeter for leather. So if you're looking for 2 millimeters thick, for example, then you've got to get 5 ounce weight. That's what they call it. So anyway, there's lots to learn about leather, and I'm going to be trying to learn more. I mean, it's good. It's better if we don't hurry, if we're not in a big hurry to do everything. But if we take the time to do research carefully and, you know, deliberately. But I've still had, yeah, I've been thinking some more, too, about this idea that somebody, that anybody could come up with a chronological date for any event in history and assert that it's true, instead of simply saying that they believe it's true and presenting the evidence. To simply assert that it's true appears to be extremely, well, it's unscientific, first of all, because no date in ancient history is absolutely certain. But the other thing is it seems unwise as well, but it also could be taken to be presumptuous to think that anybody knows anything about absolute dates precisely. I mean, you could say you believe it, That's not presumptuous. But to say that it's true as a fact, and then to expect anybody to agree with that, to me, that's presumptuous, because nobody should agree with somebody who insists on something as a fact. Nobody should agree with that. That's just dangerous, but it's false. It's a false premise. To think that anything is absolutely known is wrong. Not from a human standpoint, anyway. It's wrong to know things. To think we know things as humans is wrong. We can only attempt to establish the veracity of things. We can't make any assertion, not just to do with chronology, but other things too. It's very presumptuous, and it's tenuous ground, but it's presumptuous. And so what it leads to is, it's like the same idea as a person taking the law into their own hands. It's something that we don't rightly do. It's not the right thing that we don't have the authority to take the law into our own hands, because that always is in the hands of the police. So it's I think a good illustration just to make that comparison. We can't make assertions about facts as though we are the source of those facts, or as though we are the authority on any matter. We can't do that without incurring, sin, and without incurring wrath upon us from the highest authority, always Jehovah, from the authority of whatever you believe to be the highest authority. Whatever anyone believes to be the highest authority, but the highest authority that's ever been named is Jehovah. There's no one's ever named an authority higher than that. They might have named authorities lower than that, certainly. People have named other authorities that are lower than Jehovah. Like, for example, Jesus, he's an authority lower than Jehovah. And the angels are authorities lower than Jehovah. The devil's an authority lower than Jehovah, obviously. For Christians, it's obvious anyway. But humans are also authorities who are lower than Jehovah. So they don't have any right to make statements about any facts, except insofar as they express their faith with regard to facts. So, well, I presented today also in a previous video the work in small part of Dr. Cathcart, who was an expert on vitamin C, and his own research was, I think, unique. I don't think I've encountered anybody who really had any comparable knowledge to what he had, and at least so far I haven't. There may be some other people who had comparable knowledge. I would be surprised if there aren't any other people, at least from the standpoint that he had such an advanced knowledge that he must have gotten his information from somewhere. So there must be somebody else to be discovered, which I'm grateful for that prospect, that maybe there are other sources of information in addition to Dr. Cathcart. But even Dr. Cathcart has a lot of information on the internet that I haven't even seen yet. I still have a lot to research with regard to him alone. I mean, it's exciting, because I know that's a powerful thing. The other thing is I'm researching vitamin K2, menatetranone, which is MK4, and I did confirm, importantly, I confirmed that this K2, the MK4 form, which is called menatetranone, is the actual K2 that they use in Japan and have used for decades. That I did want to show you, actually. That I want to show you. Is it here? It's not the one. Let's see. Not there. It's one of these. This is the one here. Yeah, this is the reference. So, it's been used in Japan for decades. Let me just try and make this page smaller so we can read it. There. It's been used as a treatment in Japan. It's in the form of MK4, which is called menotetranone. Actually, that's the official name, the English name, I guess you could. It's the technical name for MK4 is menotetranone. It sounds like it's a horrible chemical, but it's a vitamin, and it's the active vitamin that our bodies produce, is menotetranone. When we convert vitamin K1 into K2 in our bodies, it's that particular MK4 is the one. That's the one we produce, which is menotetranone. That's a naturally produced vitamin K2 in our bodies that our own bodies produce. So MK4, and that's the one they use in Japan. And they've used it for decades in the treatment of osteoporosis. And they've proven in actual human trials the daily intakes of 45 milligrams of this MK4, which is also called menotetranone, it maintains or increases bone density and cuts the risk of fractures. So that's how powerful it is. But mind you, 45 milligrams doesn't sound like much, and it isn't much, but in the concentrations that we can buy it in, it actually is. For example, if I were to take gel caps, I'd have to take something like 400 gel caps per day to get 45 milligrams. And I can't probably swallow that many gel caps anyway per day. And there's a lot of gelatin in the gel caps. I don't want all that gelatin in my body, probably. I don't want to swallow 400 of them. Maybe I could cut open the gel caps and I could probably do that, but that would be a lot of work too. But if I use the menotetranone in the little thorn bottles, which are this big, 30 milliliters bottles, I'd have to drink something like, you know, 2/3 of it or something. About 2/3 of a bottle in order to get 45 milligrams. So, and that would cost me about $20 a day, which would be $600 a month. Which would be worth it if it would reverse osteoporosis, of course. $600 a month, that's pretty good economics if you can reverse osteoporosis, but still, it's a lot of money. If only we can get it in a more concentrated form, which is what I'll be doing now, is looking for ways to get it in more concentrated forms than that. Just even for my own use, because I'm just experimenting at this point. I took 4 more drops of it today, so I've had 9 drops of this, which is equivalent to 900 micrograms, almost a milligram since yesterday when I first got it. That's all I've taken so far of this menotetranone. I don't have any arthritis in my hands right now, and I haven't taken the K2 in the other form today. The MK7 that I normally take every day, I didn't take any of that today. Because I took the menotetranone, I guess. I'm not sure if I'll take the MK7, which is my other supplement, in the gel caps. That's the gel cap form. So I can't really break open the gel caps and get MK4 because it doesn't. The gel caps have MK7. So I can't. When I said I could, I'd have to take that many gel caps, it wouldn't be MK4 that I'd be taking if I took the gel caps. It would be MK7 anyway. So if I want to get MK4, I take it in the thorn droplets, the little drops of liquid K2, which has vitamin D in it too. And I've also been thinking that when I take massive amounts of the gel caps, I'm getting too much vitamin D, so I have to take the vitamin K without the D, which I can also order and buy and use if I want to take large amounts of MK7, which is derived from natto beans. It's a very, very powerful form of vitamin K2 also. But MK4 is the one that they're using in Japan for osteoporosis treatments. And that's one I want to try and learn about now. It takes time to learn, and I don't have much time to learn before I'm dead at my age. So I have to figure out how to learn fast, basically. It requires intensive research, but we're not going to hurry. But it's very intensive research is required to figure out what this K2 can do. All I know right now about it is that it's got zero known toxicity, so there's no limit on how much we can take. What that means as far as what the benefit is as you increase the dose, though, I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know if anyone's ever tested it. I don't think anyone's ever tested it in doses greater than 45 milligrams. I mean, if they've not tested it in doses greater than 45 milligrams, then we don't know what it does. So, but the prospect is potentially very exciting. We're at Psalms chapter 60. Is it long? It's not too long. Little children. So, to the director on the lily of reminder. And by the way, vitamin K2, even in the MK7 form, which you take in gel caps, which are derived from the natto bean of Japan, if you take sufficient MK7, which would be, I don't know how much that would be, but for a child, for example, if a child takes enough vitamin K2, even in that form, I believe, the MK7 form, it would be good enough to prevent crowding in the of the teeth, because it promotes the growth of the bone. It allows for the formation of the jaw, and the full formation of the jaw prevents crowding of teeth in children. So as children are growing, they should make sure they have enough of this vitamin K2. And how much is enough is hard to say, because it doesn't have any known toxicity. So certainly taking any amount at all would be highly beneficial. So even one of these, say 100-120 micrograms is the typical amount in one gel cap, even one of those a day would be highly beneficial for a child, I would think. But I'm not sure that is the only maximum. That's not a true maximum, because there's no known toxicity. So you could take two or three of them probably. I'm not sure about children, I don't know. But I know there was a doctor, the expert, the preeminent expert in the world on vitamin K2, took 3 gel caps per day while she was pregnant. So, and she doesn't weigh probably very much either. I don't believe she's a large woman, but she took 3 gel caps per day while she was pregnant, because she knew that it would help the formation of the fetus. But she's an adult. But I mean, I know 3 is not the limit for me, because I've taken 12 or 15 per day or whatever. I've 20 a day in some days. But that's just, the problem is you need to take vitamin D with it, but you don't want to get vitamin D toxicity, which is, I'm not sure, but if that ever happens when you're taking vitamin K2, because K2 uses up D, it consumes it. It causes vitamin D to be utilized in the body. However, and I don't think there is such a thing as vitamin D toxicity necessarily either, when you're getting enough of all the nutrients like calcium and magnesium. You have to take calcium with, you have to make sure you get dairy products or calcium with the K2, because it depends on calcium. It's the calcium vitamin. You need calcium with K2, and you need magnesium with calcium, and you need vitamin D with K2, because K2 uses vitamin D, and calcium needs vitamin D, magnesium needs vitamin D. But whether there's any vitamin D toxicity, I don't yet know. But if there is, then you can take some of your K2 in the form of K2 without D, and some of your K2 can be taken in the form of K2 with D, with vitamin D. Or you can take your vitamin K2 separately from your vitamin D if you wish, and then you can control how much vitamin D separately. So you can do those things. I think that your body tells you when you've had enough of a vitamin. I don't think you need to worry about how much to take, because you listen to your body. When you take a vitamin and it makes you feel good, you take more, maybe, to see if that'll make you feel better. And then, you know, if it makes you feel healthy, I'm not talking about feeling intoxicated. I'm talking about feeling healthy. If you feel good in the sense of being healthy when you take a vitamin, maybe you take it every day in that quantity for several days or several weeks or whatever. But you pay attention, and if you're feeling bad, you try stopping and seeing if that vitamin's causing you to feel bad. That's not usually going to happen with vitamin K, though. But I mean, with K2, I mean, because it's such an important and essential vitamin, it will almost always make you feel better. But you still have to be careful. And then, if it makes you feel better, then you have to consider maybe you need to take or should take more to see if it makes you feel even better still. Because otherwise, you might be missing out on something. Like maximum health would be something you don't want to miss out on. So I don't know about how much the quantity is yet, because I don't know if anyone knows that, but that's something you need to investigate. But you have to start somewhere. And if you don't get any vitamin K2, you might suffer many problems, including dental crowding, but there may be many other associated problems. I don't doubt that there are, because calcium is such an important vitamin, and vitamin K2 is the calcium vitamin. So we have to consider how important it might be to take at least some vitamin K2. Or you could even take one gel cap. First of all, you take one gel cap and you wait a few days and see what happens. If nothing bad happens, try taking one every 3 days or every 2 days, and then gradually, if nothing bad is happening, try one every day, and also notice if anything good is happening. But try not to change too many other things at the same time, so that you keep somewhat of a constant regimen if you can. Anyway, but you can increase it as you think you should, if you think you should. That it's up to the person, it's up to the parents and the child. In the case of a child. To the director on the Lily of Reminder, Miktam of David, for teaching. When he engaged in a struggle with Aram Naharaim and Aram Zobah, and Joab proceeded to return and strike down Edom in the Valley of Salt, even 12,000. I also noticed today that I was going to say Brother Cathcart. I feel like I'm a brother to him, but he was saying today in the video that I showed in the earlier video today, Dr. Cathcart was talking about these ascorbate tablets. I want to get some ascorbate tablets, I think, now also. But the thing is, I've got all the ascorbate, so I don't need the tablets, because I've got the ascorbate in powder form in my fridge. But the idea of tablets is a great idea, because you could have ascorbate tablets in your pocket, like he was saying, and as soon as you have any sign of infection, you immediately take an ascorbate tablet right away. If you take an ascorbate tablet right away, you can wipe out the infection before it goes any further. You don't have to wait to get home to where you have your ascorbate, your stock of ascorbate, which you might have at home. So, Jehovah, let's pray to Jehovah, little children, let's pray. Jehovah, our Father, the true God, the creator of all things, we ask you to bless us and bless everyone who is attempting to learn your word in our study today, in Jesus' name, amen. O God, you have cast us off. You have broken through us. You have become incensed. You should restore us. You have caused the earth to rock. You have split it open. Heal its breaches, for it has tottered. You have caused your people to see hardship. You have made us drink wine, sending us reeling. You have given to those fearing you a signal to flee zigzag on account of the bow, Selah. in order that your beloved ones may be rescued. Oh, do save with your right hand and answer us. God himself has spoken in his holiness. I will exult, I will give out Shechem as a portion, and the low plain of Succoth I shall measure off. Gilead belongs to me, and Manasseh belongs to me, and Ephraim is the fortress of my head one. Judah is my commander's staff. Moab is my washing pot. Over Edom I shall throw my sandal. Over Philistia I shall shout in triumph. End quote. Who will bring me to the besieged city? Who will certainly lead me as far as Edom? Is it not you, O God, who have cast us off, and who do not go forth with our armies as God? There's that scripture again about going forth with our armies, or not going forth. Do give assistance from distress, as salvation by earthly man is worthless. By God we shall gain vital energy, and he himself will tread down our adversaries. There's that concept of God who does not go forth with our armies as God. Cross-reference? I think David has mentioned this idea before, or we've seen it in Psalms. We've seen this in Psalms, whether it was David or one of the other writers of Psalms. We've seen this idea of Jehovah not going forth with our armies. Let's Google it. I mean, not Google it, but search it. Go forth. Let's just say forth armies. Let's see what we come up with. In Psalms 44. You have cast us off. Yeah, this is Asaph, I think, or the sons of Korah. Oh, yeah. The sons of Korah. Yeah, that was, you do not go forth with our armies. That was the sons of Korah. That I sort of remember. We did that study a few days ago. Well, actually, now it'd be 16 days ago. It looks like, based on where we are now in Psalm 60. That looks like the only one. But the other idea here is that in verse 11, salvation by earthly man is worthless unless Jehovah goes forth with us. And we don't have to go to war these days. Jesus brought in a new covenant where we don't fight in wars anymore. But the idea is still true that we need Jehovah to go with us in whatever we do, because salvation by earthly man is worthless, in verse 11. And we gain vital energy by God. And he enables us to tread down our adversaries figuratively in our day. In our day, we don't go forth physically to tromp on people. As Christians, we don't fight physical warfare, but we still have the idea of spiritual warfare that we fight as Christians. It's such a pleasure to talk to everybody. I feel so blessed because Jehovah has provided me with life in the first place, and also with the opportunity that we are afforded by means of the internet. We're at Isaiah 40 now, I believe. Is that right? I think so. Yes, I think so. But the opportunity that I have to speak to people and to share what I've learned over my lifetime, when I many years was working very hard on learning many different things about science, engineering, as well as not the most advanced mathematics, but I certainly learned quite a bit about mathematics or arithmetic, but trigonometry and all of these calculus, algebra, things like that. I have those things that I can share. But I've also learned a fair bit about technology and semiconductors, computers, things like that. And I've learned about the scriptures as well by my own personal study, hard study of scripture, mainly from this translation. That's why it's the translation with which I feel the most confidence in sharing. This is Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says the God of you men. Let's read this, little children, and then we'll be done for the day, because tomorrow we're going to be starting, hopefully, another book, because it'll be the first day of a new month, and we can start chapter 1 of a new book. This is a long chapter in Isaiah, too, so we'll be doing enough work today if we complete this chapter. So, comfort, let's read. Comfort, comfort my people, says the God of you men. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call out to her that her military service has been fulfilled, that her error has been paid off, for from the hand of Jehovah she has received a full amount for all her sins. Listen, someone is calling out in the wilderness, clear up the way of Jehovah, you people. Make the highway for our God through the desert plain straight. This is referring to this is a prophecy about John the Baptizer, the prophet John the Baptizer. Let every valley be raised up and every mountain and hill be made low, and the knobby ground must become level land, and the rugged ground a valley plain, and the glory of Jehovah will certainly be revealed, and all flesh must see it together, for the very mouth of Jehovah has spoken it. Listen, someone is saying, call out. And one said, what shall I call out? All flesh is green grass, and all their loving kindness is like the blossom of the field. The green grass is dried up, the blossom is withered, because the very spirit of Jehovah has blown upon it. Surely the people are green grass. The green grass has dried up, the blossom has withered, but as for the word of our God, it will last to time indefinite. Make your way up, even upon a high mountain, you woman bringing good news for Zion. Raise your voice even with power, you woman bringing good news for Jerusalem. Raise it. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Look, the sovereign Lord Jehovah himself will come, even as a strong one, and his arm will be ruling for him. Look, his reward is with him, and the wage he pays is before him. Like a shepherd, he will shepherd his own drove. With his arm, he will collect together the lambs, and in his bosom, he'll carry them. Those giving suck he will conduct with care. Who has measured the waters in the mere hollow of his hand, and taken the proportions of the heavens themselves with a mere span, and included in a measure the dust of the earth, or weighed with an indicator the mountains and the hills in the scales? Who has taken the proportions of the spirit of Jehovah, and who, as his man of counsel, and make him know anything? With whom did he consult together that one might make him understand? Or who teaches him in the path of justice, or teaches him knowledge, or makes him know the very way of real understanding? Look, the nations are as a drop from a bucket, and as the film of dust on the scales, they have been accounted. Look, he lifts the islands themselves as mere fine dust. Even Lebanon is not sufficient for keeping a fire burning, and its wild animals are not sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations are as something non-existent in front of him, as nothing, and an unreality they have been accounted to him. And to whom can you people liken God, and what likeness can you put alongside him? The craftsman has cast a mere molten image, and with gold the metal worker overlays it, and silver chains he is forging. A certain tree as a contribution, a tree that is not rotten, he chooses. A skillful craftsman he searches out for himself, to prepare a carved image that may not be made to totter. Do you people not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the outset? Have you not applied understanding from the foundations of the earth? There is one who is dwelling above the circle of the earth, the dwellers in which are as grasshoppers. The one who is stretching out the heavens just as a fine gauze, who spreads them out like a tent in which to dwell. The one who is reducing high officials to nothing, who has made the very judges of the earth as a mere unreality. Never yet have they been planted. Never yet have they been sown. Never yet has their stump taken root in the earth. And one has only to blow upon them and they dry up. And like stubble, the windstorm itself will carry them away. But to whom can you people liken me so that I should be made his equal? Says the Holy One. Raise your eyes high up and see. Who has created these things? It is the one who is bringing forth the army of them even by number, all of whom he calls even by name. Due to the abundance of dynamic energy, he also being vigorous in power, not one of them is missing. For what reason do you say, O Jacob, and do you speak out, O Israel? My way has been concealed from Jehovah, and justice to me eludes my God himself. Have you not come to know, or have you not heard? Jehovah, the creator of the extremities of the earth, is a God to time indefinite. He does not tire out or grow weary. There is no searching out of his understanding. He is giving to the tired one power, and to the one without dynamic energy, he makes full might abound. Boys will both tire out and grow weary, and young men themselves will without fail stumble. But those who are hoping in Jehovah will regain power. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not tire out. Isaiah chapter 40. And the one place I stumbled, a skillful craftsman he searches out for himself, that is the idol maker who makes and builds false idols out of metal and wood. He searches out a skilled craftsman, a skillful craftsman for himself to prepare a carved image so that he can put this image up on a wooden post and stand it up so it won't fall down. And that's the idea of the idol craftsman, the man who makes idols, which are just images. They don't have any knowledge. They don't have any ability to speak. They're just images. On the other hand, Jehovah is one who has power, and he can give power so that when we hope in Jehovah in verse 31, we regain power. And those who hope in Jehovah will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not tire out. That's one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture. Certainly one of the most powerful passages of Scripture. And the most encouraging, because it enables us to see that we can regain power when we're discouraged and when we're without power. Maybe we're ill and we can regain power because we learn about some vitamin. That's possible. But Jehovah is the one who enables us to regain power no matter what our circumstance, no matter what our vitamin situation is. We can regain power even when we're not feeling well. But it's of course better if we can get healthy by learning about nutrition as well. That's even better. Of course, it's always good to be healthy in every way possible, not just spiritually healthy and not just having energy, you know, spiritually to rise up. And despite our physical condition, we might regain power, but then we might die at a younger age if we don't know how to get nutrition. So nutrition is good to know about. But in verse 15, the nations are as a drop from a bucket, and as the film of dust on the scales, they have been accounted. So we're like nothing. Even nations, the whole nation of humans, of which we might be a part, is like nothing to Jehovah. He just lifts the islands like fine dust, it says. But, and even all the animals of Lebanon wouldn't be enough for making a sacrifice to Jehovah. He's just so great that no matter what we sacrifice to Jehovah, it's not going to be enough, in the sense that he is far above any amount that we could ever give to him. And all the nations are non-existent, that they're just like nothing in his eyes, because his greatness is so awe-inspiring and so magnificent that we're almost nothing in his eyes, from his viewpoint. But we can look up to him. We can certainly look up to him. And these craftsmen who tried to look up to Jehovah but failed because they resorted to making a false god, but they tried. They tried to do it using metal and wood, by overlaying metal on top of the wood. They tried to build this pillar that would represent God to them in some way. We know Jehovah didn't approve of that, but they did it because they were trying to worship Jehovah. This is so beautiful. It's 19:13 hours. I love you. Thanks for watching. I hope you enjoy yourself for the rest of your day or night. And goodbye for now. Good night, if that's the case. Good morning. I love you, as I said. What was the other thing that I normally say? God bless you, I want to say. Bye for now.